Reading today also comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And the theme of season of creation and with humanity. And I apologize, my notes to Melinda. The comma there should have been a dash, so we actually have from 31 to 46. But a passage I think we all know fairly well, a passage that we hear, and we hear it referred to very often. So we're told that it's in a chapter where Jesus is talking about what is the kingdom of heaven like. And this is the final one in his descriptions of the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus says to his crowd that's gathered there with him, he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will put the sheep on his right-hand side and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those who are on his right, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.'" I just fixed that thing. And the righteous will answer Jesus, "When was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will say to them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you also did it for me." And then he will say to those who are on his left-hand side, "You that are accursed, depart from me to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." And they will also answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we did not take care of you?" And he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me." And these will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Let us pray. Spirit of God, as you are present with us even now, touch the words of my mouth, touch the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable to you. Amen. I probably should also have said, touch the creativity in the pens and pencils as people create their bulletins. A study done some years ago, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. It was kind of a sweet little study, studying 18-month-old babies, toddlers, really, kind of big enough to walk. And what we, really not particularly verbal at that point, and they're just kind of starting to get it. But the way the experiment worked, it was an experiment more than a thing, and what they did is the babies were present in a room, and an adult would come in overburdened with boxes or hands too full to be able to really open the door well. And virtually without exception, the 18-month-old toddler tried to help the person who was overburdened by carrying too big a load. And so kind of an interesting question is whether or not human beings are actually kind of hardwired to be helpful to one another. And we certainly see that with children. I know that children are oftentimes loving and they do all that. I know sometimes when you think they're giving a kiss, they actually bite somebody's face. I get that part. They can be a little unpredictable, but they're sweet-spirited. And children pretty naturally, I don't know if it's instinctively, but we are designed to help one another. It's part of what we do as being human. And I see that with children, and Jesus sees that with children, and he sees the way that the children identify with the needs of the people around them and the feelings and the hurts, the joys, and how they respond in kind, how they absorb and radiate the strong emotions that are present in their world. And so Jesus uses children as kind of a foil when he's talking about how people have really closed themselves off to one another and closed themselves off to their own lives and closed themselves off to the possibility that God puts out there. And he says, you know, it's like the children in the marketplace, and they say, we played the flute for you and you would not dance. And we sang the dirge and you would not mourn. It's like you didn't know how. Somehow along the way, you lost the ability to be present with one another in the moment of their lives, in their hurts and their fears and their anxieties. And kind of that interesting place about when are we doing, when are we being who God wants us to be? And Jesus says a very interesting thing in that passage that Lorraine read. He said that truly I tell you that of all of the people born of women, there has never been one who is greater than John the Baptist. But truly I tell you, the person who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. That's this amazing claim. And it's an amazing claim about who we are and what God expects us to do with the precious lives that we have been given. We are in the season of creation, and we create humanity. You know, and we create humanity by providing nourishment. You know, and the representatives of the nourishment here, we have the bread of the table and the cup. We have the bounty of the garden represented here. And we have the bounty of people who are blessed enough to be able to give a little beyond themselves in order to meet the needs of others. I walked back from the children's center. You know, if I could just say benediction now, and we would have had a lovely worship, because Lucas gets it. You know, he just kind of understands that we're here about being with one another, and we're here about the joy that is ours and being called into this community, and he gets it, and he's so lively, and Tori, and you know, and her curiosity, and Paige, and children get things, and kind of from an 18-month-old to a preteen, we get this development of character and depth. But there's a thing that happens that appears with us over time, that we stop seeing one another as valid objects of our love. And sometimes we actually become scornful of the women and men that God puts into our lives, of even the children that God puts into our lives. So we have this other passage. What is the kingdom of God like? Jesus says, well, it's kind of like the Son of Man will come into his glory and he will sit on the judgment throne. And while he's on the judgment throne, he's going to be making decisions about who is welcomed into eternity and who isn't. You know, there's nothing there about you believed right. When Jesus is separating those who are welcome and those who are not, there's nothing about orthodoxy. There's nothing about going to church. There's nothing about even knowing that what you were doing was a particularly good thing to do. So you are welcome because when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was lonely, you welcomed me. When I was sick, you brought me healing and encouragement. And when I was imprisoned, you did not forget me. I remain to you human through all of the activities of my life when I was invisible even to myself. When did we do this, Lord? When did we see you and respond to your need? And Jesus says, truly, if you did it to anyone, to the least of these, you did it for me. And the reverse is those who saw and did not respond. And when did we see? You know, if I would have known that that was Jesus, I would have been a lot nicer. Yeah, I remember one of my first times ever through this passage as a pastor, and talking to a friend who had recently been to a study situation where a woman from I believe it was the Marshall Islands talked about how people came to her community to minister to the damage that had been done by violence that had happened there, and how people came there in order to minister to Jesus, that the people told her that in her and in her need, they saw Jesus and they were ministering to Jesus. And the woman said, what's wrong with ministering to me because I'm human? Is it enough that I am God's creature, that I am called forth by God, that I am created by God? Does it need to be God in drag? Or is humanity sufficient to bring forth our desire to be helpful? And in the passage, it's really clear that nobody knows that when they're doing that which comes naturally to an 18-month-old, that they are acting exactly as God has created us to be for one another, to reach across our fears, to reach across our definitions, and to do what is right because the person that we are offering assistance to is simply overburdened. We're not trying to take the entire load. We're not trying to diminish the person. We're just trying to help open the door for somebody who's carrying more than his or her capacity can handle. When I was hungry, you gave me food. We create humanity by feeding those who are hungry. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. We create humanity by providing hydration for people in places where there's not water. We provide clothing. We provide welcome. You, who you are as a human being, need to be known, to be seen, to be welcomed, to be attended when you are broken, and to not be forgotten when you are locked away. You need your humanity to be acknowledged by those who people the world. And Jesus says, those of you who are least in the kingdom of God will be greater than John the Baptist, because we know our redeemed selves are who God would choose us to be, and in that capacity we have the ability to come across our fears and our definitions and do what is right with one another, not because we think that's Jesus, but because a sister or a brother or a child needs to be met in the moment of need and needs to be acknowledged and ministered to. And in finding that person's humanity, we find and we reclaim our own humanity. It is how we are made to be. It is who we need to be. And it is who God needs us to be, that we can sing when the flute is played, and that we can mourn with those who are hurting. Let us pray. Oh God, it is not good that we should be alone. It is not good that we should be lonely. To find ourselves in finding others, and to discover newness about who we are when we reach out and we meet the other exactly where she or he is. This is the miracle of creation. This is the miracle of humanity. This is why you looked upon us when you created us and you proclaimed us good. This is why you called us into community, by acknowledging that we could not be alone. And this is why you have equipped us through the ages to find the resources necessary to meet the needs of all of the people who you love, for whom you have given your life. Amen.